Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 27. Our verses this morning we'll be looking at will be verses 11 through 26. Let's begin reading with verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest, or it is as thou hast said." And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable or a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. In this passage of Scripture this morning, Jesus, having been brought to Pilate by the chief priests and elders, we find him now standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. He who will one day judge the world, according to John chapter 5 and verse 22, where Jesus said, "All judgment was given into his hand." He who one day will judge the world allowed himself to be judged and condemned, allowed himself to be judged and condemned. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9 says, he had done no violence, there was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus, who did no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth, is now brought before the Roman governor to be judged. First thing that we want to look at this morning is Pilate. We want to consider Pilate. This great man seems to have been without any good principles. Without any good principles. Pilate seems to have been satisfied that Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. For we're even told in verse 18, said, for he knew that for envy, jealousy, they had delivered him to him. In all probability, it would seem as though Pilate would have cleared him of the charges and even let him go free. But Pilate was more concerned with pleasing the people, with pleasing the people whom he governed over, the chief priests and the elders, who were, consider that, the chief priests and the elders, and they were extremely jealous. And Pilate even knew that was their whole purpose in turning him over to them. He didn't see any wrong in Jesus. So he knew that it was because they were extremely jealous of Jesus and they hated him. It mattered not to him that he might succumb to an unjust action. Just so long as he met the approval of the people. Though he was willing to save Jesus' life, he was fearful of offending the Jews, the people. And yes, why would that matter to him? He was a Roman governor. He was governor over this region because he had been appointed there by Caesar. But he wanted to be notorious of having a peaceful rule, a peaceful reign. It would not look good if he had to call out the host of the Roman soldiers to squelch an uprising. So he begins to bargain to give them a notorious criminal instead of Jesus, who had done nothing. Jesus was guilty of nothing. Look at again with me, verses 16, and notice his bargaining here. And they had then a notable or notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Pilate brought this up. And he said to them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? He brought up the fact that this is your feast and you want one to be released. Who is it that you want me to release? Barabbas? I can just see it, can't you? He was probably hoping that they would save Barabbas. I mean, he was a notorious prisoner. I mean, he was a notorious murderer. Surely, they will want Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. Skipping down to verses 20 to 23, we see it continues. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? He still persists on. And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? What wrong hath he done? But they cried more, saying, Let him be crucified. Well, it appears that his bargaining wasn't going to work. And so he even attempts. He attempts to, get this, he attempts to clear his conscience by publicly, before them all, washing his hands. In verse 24. And saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man, this just person, and see ye to it. Don't you hold me responsible for this. I'm innocent of it. In this, he rejects the dreams of his wife, and he condemns Jesus, a just person, to be crucified. Even his wife had revealed to her in the dream in verse 19 that he was a just man. And Pilate, Pontius, you see to it that you have nothing to do with this just man. Don't you be guilty. Of this. But he tries to wash his hands of it. And then he, in order to give the people what they wanted, so that he would smell like roses, verse 26, he released Barabbas them, but he scourged Jesus before he delivered him over to be crucified. We're told in the book of Acts, chapter 3, Peter standing up and on the day of Pentecost, preaching to those that were there from all over the known world, Jews, and everyone hearing in their own language. But he talks about Jesus being just in 14 of that third chapter of the book of Acts. He says, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just." Now, we're just in the Greek, it means innocent, absolutely holy, is what the word means. "And desired a murderer to be granted unto you." They refused, they rejected Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the just, the innocent, the one who's absolutely holy. It said, "Give us a murderer." Well, not only did Peter preach that, but we find in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, we find Stephen preaching to the mob of Jews. And in verse 52, he testifies of Jesus being the just one. He said, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one," the innocent, the one who is absolutely holy, "of whom ye have begun now, have been now the betrayers and murderers." Well, we know that that infuriated the mob that Stephen was speaking to, so that they killed, stoned the righteous one, because their deeds were evil and wicked. How many there are today that know that that which they do is wrong? But have no courage to stand up for that which is right. Let us not be guilty of that. But let us be guilty of striving in all of our strivings to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke in chapter 12. And look with me here in Luke, the 12th chapter, and what Jesus says on this occasion in verses 4 and 5. "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Fear God. Don't fear man. We that are saved, let us fear God more than we fear man. Let us seek to do that which is pleasing to God, not please our fellow man. Well, moving on. The second thing that we want to note and look at in these verses is the Jews. The Jews. We see from the behavior of the Jews in this passage of Scripture the desperate wickedness of human nature. of the world, of those without Christ, those without God. The chief priests and elders were given opportunity to reconsider. They were given several opportunities by Pilate to reconsider. Pilate's suggestion that they release Barabbas, even the washing of his hands and of any guilt in calling him Jesus, a just person. They were all occasions for them to change their mind, have a different opinion of mind than that which they had. But the chief and elders' minds were cemented in hatred and jealousy. Hatred. There would be no changing of their mind. There would be no persuading them otherwise. Their jealousy and hatred clouded their judgment. And so we're told in verse 20 that they persuaded the people. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. In verse 21, they got what they wanted. They said unto him, Barabbas, we want Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. They all say, in verse 22, they all said. Think about that. A whole multitude of people are there. Not just chief priests and elders, but a whole multitude of people. And they all said, let him be crucified. Wasn't enough. Verse 23 says, they cried out the more. They said the more. Let him be crucified. In verse 25, after the Pilate had washed his hands and tried to wash his hands of the blood of that innocent one, the just one, see you to it. All the people answered again, his blood be on us and on our children. You think they knew what they were saying? You think they knew what they said? His blood, the blood of the innocent one, the blood of the holy one, the blood of the just one, be upon us and on our children. You see, they rejected the Christ. He came for his own, and his own received him not. They rejected the Christ. Yes, they rejected Pilate's weak suggestions. And they made an uproar demanding a notorious criminal be released and that Jesus Christ be crucified. You see, they weren't rejecting Pilate and his weak suggestions. They were rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. It was because of their jealousy and their hatred. They could not stand him. What had Jesus done? What had Jesus done to be hated so of them? He was not a thief. He was not even a murderer, as Barabbas was. He was not a blasphemer of God. They tried to make it out like he was, but he was not a blasphemer of God. He did always those things that pleased his Father. That was his purpose in coming and dwelling among men, was to do the will of his Father. He did not revile. He did not reproach anyone. No. He went about demonstrating love, demonstrating compassion. In the book of Acts, in chapter 10 and verse 38, we're told how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who wouldn't want a man like that in their community? One who healed all manner of diseases and sicknesses and doing good. Demonstrating love, demonstrating compassion. He didn't turn any of them away. But he healed. Look with me at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. Peter again, in this letter, testifying of the Lord. He said in verse 21, he said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." In all that Jesus did, he revealed to us the righteousness of God. He was innocent. Innocent of any transgressions. Furthermore, he was incapable of any transgressions. He was incapable of any sin. He spoke the truth. In the book of John, chapter 17, in verse 17, Jesus, there in his intercessory prayer to his heavenly Father, said in verse 17, "Sanctify them," those whom the Father had given unto him, "sanctify them through thy truth." Okay, how are they going to be sanctified? They're going to be sanctified through the truth. And what is the truth? Thy word is truth. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is truth. And it's the Word that sanctifies. It's the truth that sanctifies. Jesus was, is the Word. Jesus is the truth. And he testified that their works were evil. In the book of John, chapter 8, he said, ye do the works of your father, the devil. Their works being evil, just as their father's works were. So they despised and rejected the light. The light. They loved the darkness. Why did they love the darkness? Because their deeds were evil. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and verse 3, we read, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Look at John, the book of John, and chapter 1. We're told here concerning the Word, who is God, who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifested in the flesh. In verse 4, it said, in him, in the Word, in Jesus Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness apprehended it not. The darkness seized it not. The darkness would not lay hold of the light. Look with me what we're told in the third chapter of John, and in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Why don't they love the light? Because their deeds are evil. So they hated Christ because their deeds were evil and his were righteous. Because he was holy and they were unholy. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, we're told this. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay his brother? Because his own works were evil. His own works were evil. So he loved the darkness. And his brothers, righteous. Evil will always seek to slay the righteous. The righteous, they hate the righteous. Why? Because it tries to shed light on their evil and on wicked ways. Now, in closing, men of the world despise Christians. They mock and ridicule us. And they will persecute us. Jesus Christ came before, and he was hated. He was despised and rejected of men, of the world. and they crucified him. Turn with me to the book of John. John in chapter 15. And look with me what Jesus tells his church here in John 15 and verse 18. His 11 apostles. In verse 18 he says, if the world hate you, and does it, if your deeds are righteous, they will hate you. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. We see that playing out back there in the book of Genesis in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, when Cain slew Abel. Abel was the righteous one. Abel's works testified of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood for sinners. It testified of the righteousness of God. Cain's way of being evil and wicked hated that. And so he slew him. You know that it hated Christ before it hated you. If ye are of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore we are not to be partakers of the evil deeds. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. We're not greater than Christ. If they hated him and they crucified him, what do you think they're going to do to us? If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. All these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. because you proclaim the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you live the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will do these things to you. Because they know not him. Sent me. They know not God. If they knew God, they'd know Christ. And if they know Christ, they'd know us. And they would love us. But they know not God. They know not Christ. They hate Christ. And they despise us. There is much wickedness in the world today. Let us mourn over it. Let us be moved to preach the gospel to this wicked world. But let us never be surprised by the extent of the wickedness that there abounds in the world. There is nothing which the heart of man is not capable of imagining. Nothing. And I think of that scripture that talks about even the wickedness of man shall praise the Lord. And the rest he restrains. Psalm 76:10. And while I don't fully understand it, I know that that verse tells me that there's a lot of wickedness that would be imagined in the heart of man, even today, that he's restraining because he's not going to get the glory from it. And how he gets the glory from wickedness, it's beyond me. But I know what he told us in the book of Romans in chapter 9, that even here unto he raised up Pharaoh to bring honor and glory unto himself, to manifest his power in Pharaoh, to manifest his power in the Egyptian army. And certainly it did. It manifested to us the power of God upon those wicked individuals. Let us not be surprised. Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5 tells us, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was pre-flood days. Pre-flood days. Listen to what he said post-flood days. He said in the 8th chapter of Genesis in verse 21, he said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That was post-flood. That was after he destroyed the earth with a flood and all living in it, except 8 souls saved in the ark. And this was God's verdict after the flood. Man is only evil and wicked and only imagines to do evil and wicked things. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 14. Psalms chapter 14 and verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And lo and behold, there were none. That's what he says in the next verse. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's what God sees in all of man, all of humanity. They're depraved. They're totally depraved. And so Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 tells us, but we are all as an unclean thing. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness, all our perceived good works, all these ones who think that they can do enough good works to get to heaven, what's God say about them? They are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Yes, man in his natural state is only evil and only wicked. And because he is evil and wicked, he loves the darkness. Because he is evil and wicked and loves the darkness, he will hate the righteous, those whom God, by his grace and mercy, his love, reaches down and saves them. Shall we stand together?